That's the music of Amy Makabe, vocalist, shamisen player, and composer. Her new album, Anniversary, just came out on Greenleaf Music. And my name is Dave Douglas. I'm here for the podcast, A Noise from the Deep. Join us at greenleafmusic.com. Amy Makabe is originally from Japan. She's been living in New York since 2008. Her husband is the bassist in this band, Thomas Morgan. Thomas joined us briefly in this conversation held on the day that Joe Biden's election was announced. Briefly about that. We did it. Millions of people working together against long odds. We made change at the top. Now we can begin work on all our other struggles. First thing, we need to now focus that same energy and intensity on the state of Georgia, where in January, there will be two runoff elections that will determine control of the U.S. Senate. For everything we want to do, the power will reside right there. Do what you can, if you can, to help Georgians get to the polls and make change in January. And thanks for all you do. Please consider subscribing to Greenleaf Music at greenleafmusic.com. We are grateful for your support. And here's Amy Makabe. Okay, we're here with Amy Makabe, composer, shamisen player, vocalist, with a great new album called Anniversary. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Oh, well, the honor is mine. I think you've been living in New York now 12 years, is that right?
Something. Yes.
And you're originally from Chiba, Japan.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess, I mean, the first thing I wanted to ask you, and it's very, there's so much richness and so much going on in this music. But the first thing I want to ask is about the instrument, about the shamisen. Were you already involved in bringing the shamisen into this new musical universe before you moved to the United States?
Yes, I took shamisen lessons when I was in high school, but just a little bit. I think, yeah, I learned just a little bit how to play shamisen and I quit.
But you quit, did you say?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you're playing again now.
So, and I restarted practicing shamisen, yeah. Since I moved to New York.
I see.
Almost 5 years ago, yeah.
Wow. So it sounds like you're really in touch with the instrument.
Now I'm more appreciate shamisen, but when I was young, I couldn't feel that way. Yeah.
Do you think that's because you're now playing the shamisen in music that's not the traditional music that the shamisen was made for?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
No, so what's the traditional tuning for the shamisen?
There are three ways, mainly. Mm-hmm. The intervals, there are three strings. The intervals from bottom to top are a fourth and a fifth, or fifth and a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Or a fourth and a fourth.
Interesting. And would you change the tuning based on different compositions?
Yes. Yeah.
I see. And what about the way that you're plucking the instrument? What's there a stylus or is it your finger or a
pick? We use very big pick.
Mm-hmm.
Bachi, and with a bachi and hit strings strongly, like hit drums.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way that the instrument is played in the traditional music?
Yeah.
So I was curious, and I asked you to share a track of more traditional shamisen music, just. Give me it's not something that I know very much about, obviously, as you can tell from my uninformed questions. So I'm sorry for that. But this track that you sent me, who was the artist who's playing?
The name Chikuzan Takahashi. He's the Tsugaru Shamisen player. He's the master of Tsugaru Shamisen.
And what is this piece? What's the title and what does it mean?
Okay, title is Tsugaru Jongarabushi.
Okay, that's exactly what I was going to say. No, I'm making a silly joke. I'm sorry. Could you translate that?
The Tsugaru is the name of area in northern part of Japan.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Some things are difficult to translate.
Yeah. But song from northern area.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I like it. I like it. And I wish that the people listening to this podcast could see your face, because you were having a pleasurable moment trying to figure that out. It's making me laugh. I also have to confess, I'm going to play this in a second, but we're recording this on the day that it was announced that we elected Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the next president and vice president. So there's a little bit of giddiness going on here at my house, and I'd imagine in where you are also. So thanks for joining us on this historic day. So we're going to listen to this song from the northern part of Japan. And do you have a sense of when this was recorded? Like in the 50s, it sounds like to me.
I think so, yeah.
All right, let's listen. Thank you. Wow, I love that. It's so beautiful. And I see what you mean about the plucking the string being like a drum.
It's
very percussive.
Oh, yes.
And it seems like the instrument is somewhere between a melodic instrument and a sort of an accompaniment instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way you do it in your music as well, except you're playing with piano and bass and drums, sort of a traditional jazz rhythm section.
Right.
I guess I'm just curious, like, as a musician, I'm curious how people get to the place that they get to. What is the creative impulse and how did it come about and how was it elaborated? So for you, you're playing this very old traditional instrument with a very old and traditional technique, but you're playing it in a new context. And it's a context that you created as the composer and visionary who made it. So my question is, was that the reason that you began to play shamisen again?
Yes. Yeah, I don't remember why I play shamisen in the band. So almost 5 years ago, I suddenly missed like a shamisen.
Mm-hmm.
And the time Thomas was in Japan and for touring, and I asked him to bring back my shamisen from my family house.
So this is your husband, Thomas Morgan, the bass player. Yeah. Who, if we're lucky, he may come and join us in a little while.
He'll come.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right. So I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go continue your story.
Yeah. And then when I play shamisen at the New York apartment, kind of I got shocked. Like, I felt, I realized, oh yeah, I am a Japanese. And then I really like the sound. And I started practice seriously and practiced shamisen seriously. And I didn't intend it to bring in some Japanese taste or Japanese root to my composition. But I think my music has influences from Japanese folk music.
Mm-hmm.
Shamisen naturally fits with my pieces.
Right. That's, yeah. So if I understand, it's was a more organic process for you.
Yeah, yeah.
The instrument came to you in New York, that Thomas brought it back from Japan for you. And then when you started playing in New York, there was a new feeling, a new sound to it.
Yeah.
Were you also involved in studying jazz or any other sorts of music at that time?
Oh, I was in school. I was in a school and I was learning jazz. Yes, at the school.
Primarily as a vocalist?
Yes.
I see. So really, the vocal part of the album maybe came first for you. Mm-hmm. Like, since you're writing the lyrics in both English and Japanese, and that the shamisen came along because it was something you had played earlier in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that we hear that. And I wasn't able to really, nowadays no one meets anyone, but you know, we've never met in person. So I wasn't really sure whether, you know, what was the genesis of your vision for this music. And I think that's really interesting, that the vocals came first in your, you know, the shamisen came in later. So the fact that you're writing for traditional jazz rhythm section, then when you brought the shamisen back in and this quality of Japanese folklore, as you said, was it difficult to blend that with an American sounding improvised rhythm section?
It's a it's kind of difficult, I think. Yeah. But I think I use shamisen kind of like banjo or guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Because shamisen has a strong color. And I didn't want to feature the sound too much because I didn't compose for shamisen. These are the pieces in the album.
You wrote the pieces before and then brought the shamisen into it. I see.
Yeah. So but now I have some compositions by using shamisen, more future shamisen, but the pieces in the album it's not so.
Interesting, because I hear it like the shamisen really fits in well with the music. And I also now, having listened to a little bit more traditional, you know, the music that the instrument was built for, all of those kind of rhythmic accompaniment type lines, I hear that happening a lot in this music. And it's a really, it makes for a very interesting blend. There's this tune called, do you say Reno? R-I-N-O.
Reno.
And what does Reno refer to?
If you
can tell me.
I don't know Reno. I titled Reno. I don't know why, but for me somehow the piece reminds me when I was traveling in Brazil. Yeah, I was traveling Brazil alone. And I don't know why Reno is not Brazil, or there's not any meaning related to Brazil. But I don't know, somehow I picked the title Reno.
Okay, let's listen a little bit. I like the sirens in the background. Fantastic. Really great playing, really great writing. This is such an interesting blend of sound. The band sounds great. It's Vitor Gonzalves, right? And Kenny Wallison and Thomas Morgan on bass. I wanted to ask you about, I heard that you're involved in some pretty in-depth study of counterpoint. And I'm jealous, because it's something, it takes a lot of time, right? And it's very intense, but you're studying with some of the very top teachers in the world right here in New York. How does that feed into the practice of making this band music?
It's definitely, learning counterpoint is helpful for sure for my composing. I don't know exactly I changed or not, but I think my ears are changing, I think, through the practicing of, you know, counterpoint and learning harmony.
Mm-hmm. What, I guess I'll ask it this way, like, is, I know that, you know, counterpoint involves writing a lot of exercises and a lot of following rules and doing examples and doing things many times. And I know in my own practice, when I'm involved in a study like that, and I'm writing a lot of examples, they usually end up invading into the pieces that I write for my ensembles and projects and albums. Do you find that that happens with you too?
Yeah, maybe, yes.
Again, if everyone could see Emmy's facial expression, I'm not convinced somehow. So maybe it is completely separate for you. Mm-hmm. I'm only asking because a lot of people that listen to this podcast will know how intense high-end counterpoint study is. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder, you know, as you're writing all these pieces for your band, and I know you have a lot of new stuff, it's just, do you feel like it's a completely separate activity? A separate practice. Like as if you have counterpoint over here and your work for your band over here.
Yeah, I wanted to, it's not completely separated for sure, but so far, I think I have some pieces from the counterpoint practice,
Yeah, I mean, maybe this piece, the chimney sweep, that you wrote has some elements of things.
Okay, so this one is actually I got a hint from the music of Christian Wolff, great composer.
Mm-hmm.
So first I wrote melody first, and actually you can read the same melody in different clefs.
Yes.
So mainly treble clef, a tenor clef, and a bass clef. And the musicians can switch whenever they want. That's the actual reason.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And it also sounds like there's some sort of following and imitation and variation and different layering of the way the players are.
Yeah.
It's quite beautiful. It's also the only piece on the album where the words are not written by you. It's a poem from William Blake.
Yeah.
So how did you come across that, and what made you want to set it?
So William Blake has been a special poet for me since I met his works as a student in Japan. I was, my major was American and English literature, actually, was in Japan, and I'm in a university in Japan. And I don't know, somehow I feel close to his work. Mm. And then actually, this is my third setting of William Blake's Poetry. And about this piece, so melody came first. I wrote melody with some images, and some images like linked it to Blake's drawings and poems from the Song of Experience. And then, I read the book again, and I found that it happened to fit the poem Chimney Sweeper.
Nice. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
A little black thing among the snow cries.
Such a beautiful piece. Wow. And it's really a different mood from a lot of the rest of the record. Maybe because there's no shamisen in right. that part of the song. But also you the way that you're singing it, it feels like a deep connection with the poem and the melody that you set. And then I have to say a deep connection with Thomas Morgan, the bass player. And that puts it in a really interesting universe. I wonder how singing in English instead of singing in Japanese changes the focus for you as a performer. As a singer,
I write lyrics in English and Japanese, which is very difficult either way.
Do you mean just writing lyrics for songs is difficult?
Yeah.
Either way, it doesn't matter the language.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. But I can decide easily which language I use. I mean, I write or wordless, so I compose. And I think if I want to say something simple or something I really want to express or I have some strong feeling, that case I feel like I write in English rather than Japanese. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I can be honest when I write in English. So my Japanese lyrics are actually unclear.
You mean unclear? You mean
more better abstract?
More abstract. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Could that be because the kind of songwriting you're doing is more common in English? And I'm sure you have a lot of favorite singer, songwriter artists, and maybe a lot of them are working in English?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Would you name any? I know, it's always a hard question because there's so many.
Yes. Songwriters. Yeah, of course, Joni Mitchell, Tracy Chapman, the kind of folk musicians. Anybody else?
I think that you named two great names, and the first one was one that I was going to ask about. So I hear a little bit of Joni Mitchell influence in that piece.
Mm-hmm.
Bird. And I think I've been writing a little bit of lyrics, and you're right, it's really difficult. And I've only, I mostly in English, tried a little in French and a little in Spanish. I have a new piece where there's lyric in Latin. And it's, I don't know. I think that my role models for lyrics and vocals and songwriting all come from the English speaking world. So I had a very specific context to write in Latin and to write in Old French. And so it's very specific to the context of the piece. And maybe what I'm hearing in this Chimney Sweeper piece is something like that. Like you're bringing your music into this English world. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you said you also write wordless lines for vocals. And I was, when I was hearing you sing Japanese and English, I was wondering how much of the negotiation, how much of the process is just phonetics, just the sounds of the words, and how much is really the meanings of the sentences. I was talking to Faye Victor on this podcast, and she was talking about the sounds of the words and the sounds of non-words.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying you're doing wordless melodies, and I guess the question is, you know, as a musician, are you operating the same way even when there's a lyric? It's just the sounds of the words.
Mm.
You don't have to know. Yeah, I mean, so there's another piece on your album that's called Moon and I, and all of these pieces are so wonderful and great. And this one is your own lyric.
Mm-hmm.
So were you thinking about it differently as you were singing it, or is it always the same process for you?
Just this one is very, very simple. Just what I felt.
Why don't we, I'll play a little bit of it, and then we'll see if we can circle back and or not. This is Moon and I. About
it's a story of love.
Yeah, I know. Thomas is very prominent in that piece, your husband. Thomas? The bass is plays an important role, and I was wondering when I saw the lyrics if you were thinking some things about love and Thomas and your relationship. And I mean, the album is called Anniversary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But maybe I'm reading too much.
And Moo and I is a little different from Thomas.
Okay. I imagine so. You said that Thomas was around. Do you want to grab him?
Of course, we should. Yes.
Let's grab Thomas.
Yes. So,
Emmy is now going into the next room where she's going to I hear conversation. She's grabbing Thomas Morgan, and Thomas Morgan has now entered the room and he's taking a chair. I'm doing a live play-by-play here, Thomas. Hi.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks, Dan.
Congratulations on our new president.
Yeah, and I'm feeling good about that.
Yeah, me too. We've been talking about Emmy's wonderful record and hearing different tracks, and she also played me a traditional shamisen piece to just contrast with the way the instruments used in her music. And we just heard a little bit of Moon and I. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was asking her also on Chimney Sweeper, the just the beautiful relationship between your bass playing and her vocal and her composition. Seems like such a special thing. I mean, it's the music is obviously different than most contexts that we all play in. Mm-hmm. It's so unique to Emmy, but do you find yourself thinking differently in relation to her compositions, but also her as a performer and her and in your life as your wife?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to put into words, but yeah, playing a song like Chimney Sweeper, it's really like nothing else. And it, I don't know if she talked about the way that it kind of allows everyone freedom within this framework where you. Everyone kind of they're playing the same melody, or at least have that melody as a reference point. But you can switch clefs anytime you want, and it makes a very different way of thinking about things, but then there's also the freedom to to play around the melody and to make counterpoint on the spot, and but actually every song has very different qualities, so I don't know. I think it definitely feels like a special thing for me.
Sounds that way. Interesting that, yeah, thinking back over listening to it, you're right. Each piece sort of has its own way of operating, and the counterpoint thing seems to be a through line to me. But I was thinking one of the reasons that I wanted to see if you would come in and talk a little bit was because this piece Anniversary, you know, that's just a duo, and you could talk about that process for that one a little bit.
Oh, It feels like it has a, like the form is, it's a very classical or I don't know, it feels like a very very familiar, but not familiar at the same time. I think satisfying in terms of the melody and the harmonies, and it feels good to play it, I'd say.
Well, you sound really great on it. And the whole band sounds great together on the album, but this piece in particular, it's just the two of you. And it's really wonderful to hear, and it's being the title track to the record, I'm always touched when I hear it. And I'll just say, I've said this to you, both of you, before, I'm, you know, so happy that this company, Greenleaf Music, exists so that we could put this music out there and get it heard. It makes me really proud. And I'm not going to get teary now, but I'll just say thank you so much for being a part of it, Thomas. And I guess I'll play a little bit of Anniversary, and I'll just thank you for coming in to join us. And then after this track, we'll talk a little bit more with Emmy.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you. It's great to see you. Stay safe.
You too.
There are many thoughts of you in my mind. Just thinking of you, and my heart is glad. What a dream of you in a place where I feel your heartbeat. That is my hope, but you have to leave. It's your job, it is our fate, being apart. So I always go to the place for you in my heart, in my heart. It's enough to call out your name. I am dreaming of you, I'm with you, beyond the space and time. That is my wish, but you have to leave too soon. It's your job, it is of a fate, being apart. So I always go to the place for you in my heart, in my heart. Thank you.
Anniversary, the title track. Thank you, Emmy. So great. Beautiful album. And I know we're going to hear a lot more. I know that not many of us are doing shows right now. You're doing a show.
Yes.
Is it next week?
This coming Friday. Right? Yeah, November 13th.
Okay.
The live stream, yeah, as a Lilius gig at the Brooklyn Seas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. I mean, we're all so isolated these days, so it's going to be nice to play, I'm sure. But I'm also sure you're still writing. So do you have a new project that you're working on right now?
Yeah.
So what? Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
I'm just composing, and I already have a lot of compositions that I want to play with the same member.
Same band, yeah.
Yeah, same band. And also I have, I'm working on a little shamisen piece, shamisen composition.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait to hear that. That'll be really wonderful. I guess we're not really traveling to Japan these days either, but I know there's interest in this record in Japan. Do you see at some point taking the band to Japan and playing this music over there?
Hopefully. Yeah, but definitely I would love to have a tour in Japan after this pandemic.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Great. Wow. Well, I would definitely support that. And I just love the record. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's everything thanks to you and Greenleaf. I have so much appreciation to you. And I feel very lucky to be in Greenleaf. It's great level. I had a great time, working with you.
Thank you. We love the record, and we'll look forward to a lot more.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. Join us at greenleafmusic.com. Please consider becoming a subscriber and pick up the new Amy Makabe album, Anniversary. Thanks for listening.